The world Hashem wants us in. Okay, very good. All right, welcome back, everyone. It's so nice to see everybody, and it's nice to reconvene. Here we go. So we completed the first three brachos of our Shmona Esrei Shir, and now we are into a new section called the section of Bakasha. So I just wanted to share with everyone, we have a very wonderful member of the shul, Rabbi Perlich, or soon to be Rabbi Perlich, who is completing his smicha at Yeshiva University, and he's in the Chag HaSmicha, which is coming up this March. He gave a shir here over Sukkos, and I love him. He was amazing, very passionate and wonderful. So he's going to do a little bit of stuff around the shul just to kind of help out when I'm not around. So the weeks that I can't make it, he's going to fill in. So I encourage you to give him a shot and to come and to listen to Rabbi Perlich. I came to his last year and I got a tremendous amount out of it. I encourage you to try as well. And he's going to speak about more meta tefillah issues. So we're staying within the theme without stepping on each other's toes. And I encourage you to... So next week, I will be away. Rabbi Perlich will be here. And I encourage you to come. And then the following week, I'll be back. And then I don't even know what happens. Okay, so here we go. So the next bracha we are up to is the bracha about wisdom. So this is the first bracha in the world of Bakasha. And everyone have a paper? Everyone have a sheet? Great. And the bracha goes like this. Ata chonein la'adam das. That you give to man, wisdom. So first of all, the whole notion that we pray for wisdom is itself somewhat fascinating. Often we relate to this bracha as a prayer for good decisions, right? Or good insights, or good, you know, when we think about what kind of things go in the bracha of atachonin. So many of us daven very, very hard that we should be able to learn well, that we should be able to come up with new material. That I always try to figure out where do the jokes go in Shmona Esrei. But, you know, maybe even that's part of Bina, whatever. Different approaches to how to do that, but the whole notion of davening for wisdom is itself very fascinating, and it's fascinating that we begin this section of Bakasha, which remember, this is really kind of the core of tefillah altogether. Everything's been leading up to this block of brachos. All of the momentum of Shacharis, certainly during the weekdays, that has taken us from Birchas HaShachar through Psukei DeZimra, the seeing God in nature and in the human experience, through to Kriya Shema, declaration and affirmation of our faith and our loyalty to the Ribbono Shalom and understanding of reward and consequences in our relationship with the Ribbono Shalom, all the way through the promise of redemption, leading us immediately into the world of Tefillah, getting ourselves through Avos, establishing our foundation of identity in the context of our tefillah, Givuros, connecting to the capacity of God to shape the human experience, an affirmation that ultimately everything we experience and everything we engage and everything that we come into contact with is ultimately an expression of the Ratzon Hashem, and then Kedusha, the notion of sanctity as being an enveloping dimension of the human spiritual experience. All of that brings us to the opportunity to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to ask Him for something. And this is really what the fundamentals of tefillah are all about. The notion of requesting things from God. That's usually what brings us to the point of tefillah. Even the Rambam, who discusses whether or not tefillah is d'oraisa, the Ramban is tefillah d'oraisa, is tefillah d'rabbanan. So many suggest, according to the Ramban, that if you're be'ez tzara, it's certainly d'oraisa. If there's something you need, if there's something you want, if there's something that you're asking for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so that certainly is at the core of tefillah. So it's fascinating that of all the things that we could launch this section with, and we are about to pass into quite significant elements of our human experience, our health, our sustenance, even our political climate, and our the notion of geula, as we're going to see, the bracha of Gal Yisrael refers more to not so much to a national redemption that happens that is appealed for later in the Shmona Esrei, but the notion of sort of a personal redemption, the concept of sort of like an existential redemption, almost an emotional mental health redemption, Gal Yisrael. And there are other brachos that we're going to relate to, Shema Koleinu, and yet it is all initiated by this bracha, by this appeal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wisdom. And it's interesting because wisdom does not seem like something necessarily, first of all, much of wisdom, when we think about it, we don't really think about the divine role in our wisdom. We think about wisdom in terms of IQ, which many people kind of feel like you're born with a certain capacity, and you can certainly move, and you could certainly learn how to learn better, and you could certainly create structures and all sorts of multiple intelligences, and there's plenty to work with in terms of our intellectual acumen and our insight. But so much of to place das, to place wisdom, to place knowledge at the forefront of all of this appeal to the Rabbon Shalom is certainly striking, is certainly fascinating. So we have to understand, what is this bracha really about? And part of what it's about is understanding how much of the human experience actually does take place in our mind, right? That part of what the bracha of Das is about is not just about asking God for knowledge. It's about sort of unpacking the relationship between understanding and insight and wisdom and the broader human experience in terms of what we're here to actually accomplish. A lot of our life is spent in our head. That's a reality, right? How often do we contend with very challenging circumstances where the data points are what they are in terms of the objective realities in front of us, but what really shapes the experience is ultimately how we're processing it and how we are relating to it and what kind of baggage we bring to it and how much we understand it and can comprehend it and can digest it and internalize it and to what degree we allow challenges to have control over us, to what degree we have control over challenges. There's an enormous amount of every aspect of the human experience that is taking place in our mind. And a lot of what the brachas we're going to see of Atachonin La'adam Das is not just a bracha for knowledge. It's not just we trend in that direction because we have such a strong focus on Talmud Torah that there is sort of an understanding. Because intellectual understanding is such a large part of our, you know, just reality in terms of our religious ambitions, so we automatically gravitate towards that being what this bracha is about. But in truth, the bracha has much more to do with providing for us a physical, emotional, and spiritual structure within which we can relate to and process the world intellectually, emotionally, mentally. It's really a bracha, Atachonin La'adam Das, as we're going to see. It's really a bracha appealing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about how the mind relates to the world. It's really a request from God for serenity and acumen and ability to process and relate to the world through our mind. And when understood that way, there's a much greater and deeper relevancy to this, or relevance to this, to our ongoing reality. So the Gemara in Megillah already introduces the notion, based on a pasuk, the Gemara in Megillah already introduces the notion that we, welcome. The Gemara in Megillah already introduces the notion that we have this juxtaposition of Kedusha and of Das, of Bina. This notion that first we daven for sanctity, we daven for Kedusha, and then we immediately transition into the world of Das. And what is that really about? So let's begin. So look at source number 3, which is from the Sifsei Chaim. So the Sifsei Chaim says the following: Shekedusha muvna parush v'nivdal migashmius. What is Kedusha really about? Kedusha, sanctity, accentuates our distance and our separation from things that are physical and from things that are worldly. It is impossible to have any sort of comprehension or grasp or understanding and insight related to the sanctity of God, shehi ruchanis tahora, because God is entirely spiritual. We are finite human beings. God is this infinite, infinite being, and therefore it is impossible to fathom, to grasp, to access his Kedusha so long as we are entrenched in our physicality, in our material limited existence. Only if we are able to separate ourselves, to sanctify ourselves and distance ourselves from the temptations of Gashmias, of material things. Kechol shetigado madrugaseinu b'kedusha, kach nasig yoser, es malas kedushas Hashem Yisparach. The greater degree to which we can, now what he means here is not necessarily to live an aesthetic lifestyle. What he means is the greater degree to which we can distance ourselves from a dependency on the world, on the material world. The greater degree to which those things do not control us, they do not master us, we master them. Doesn't mean that we don't eat, and we don't sleep, and we don't even enjoy ourselves, and we don't engage in things that are physical. We're human beings. Our job here in this world is not to behave like angels. Our job here is not to shed all of our, and deny all of our physicality. We're human beings. We're physical, limited people. But what it means is we're not defined by those things. We're not controlled by those things. Sanctity means that it doesn't control you, you control it. That's why the Ramban, when the Rashi and the Ramban, Rashi writes, what does it mean to be Kedoshim Tinyo? To separate yourself from Arayos. So what does the Ramban write? Ramban writes, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutterlach. What does it mean? That even the things that are permitted, it's permitted to eat. But you shouldn't eat like Vildachai. It's permitted to engage in indulgence of certain aspects of physicality. But it shouldn't be to the degree that it becomes so habitual and so part of your life. And so what the Ramban means is it's the difference between not doing it versus not doing it. It's the difference between it controlling you and you controlling it. That you can walk in and you can decide what you're going to eat and what you're going to enjoy and what you're going to, and when you are going to walk away from those realities and those temptations and choose to divert your attention and your engagement in something else. That's Kedusha. That's the concept of Kedusha. And that's what our mindset is when we reach the bracha of Kedusha in Shemona Esrei. It is a bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Hakel HaKadosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate manifestation of sanctity in this world. And in order to draw closer to him, you cannot be restrained by having other things that are physical, that are temporal, that are limited, controlling you. And that's what it means. It doesn't mean you don't eat. It means you don't need to eat right now. You don't need to eat that, right? One of my biggest weaknesses with eating is I love the cream in Oreo cookies. The Oreo cookies themselves, shockingly, I don't like as much as the Frummer Oreo cookies, whatever those are called, Yitzi and Schwitzi cookie, whatever those things are that come with the Pashkis thing with the beard here, right? But I love the cream. So like when they were Mechadesh, so I used to do this. I used to take sandwich cookies, separate them, combine various sandwich cookies, right, to make more filling, and then I would just eat the ones without the filling, even though I didn't like them as much. But then, to me, it was a whole cheshbon. I had fewer cookies, but they had more filling. And to me, that was like, and so then when they were mechadesh, double stuff, that was like, to me, it was like ilu, you know, like, it was just, and then they were mechadesh further, mega stuff, right, which is even more than double stuff. So the first time I saw it, I bought mega stuff, and I combined two megas. And I have to say, I got a stomachache from that. That did not go well. That was absolutely disgusting. But I was online at a gas station to pay for something, and I see sitting on the thing, not double stuff, not mega stuff, like super duper, like literally you open it up and there's just a huge thing of the filling with like two cookies at the end, and it's like the ultimate, you know. And I'm watching it, and I'm just begging the guy to please take my credit card and help me pay so I don't have to, you know what I'm saying? And momish, like the juices are flowing, the taivas are coming. Like it to me was like, and I was able to walk out without it. You know why? Because it doesn't control me. I control it. That doesn't mean I didn't walk out with anything. I walked out with really, really disgusting tasting nuts. But, right? But at the end of the day, I made that choice. So Kedusha means that you control it. It doesn't control you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of Kedusha. And you can access HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're able to move beyond your constraints of your humanity and enter into that spiritual sphere. Me'idach Gisa. Hashakua biridifa achrei taibas agashmius eno mesugal lahavin kedushamai. If you're entirely engaged in pursuing areas of materialism, then you're never going to confront, you're never going to engage and understand and comprehend this sanctity. Yaseiru mizuhu eno yachol liskos labina klal ki mahi bina. And here's where he gets to the relationship between wisdom and kedusha. What is wisdom? What is wisdom in Judaism? Wisdom is, and this is very important, it's not data, it's not information, it's not even extrapolations, interpretations, and all sorts of acrobatic intellectual constructs. Mahu bina, behirus, bichol inyan. Clarity in everything. That is wisdom. It's so simple, and it's very profound. Wisdom means you have clarity. Why is Einstein very wise? Not because he can concoct, because he looks at the universe and he has clarity. He understands it. He understands it. I don't understand what he understands about it, but he understands it. When you could look at multiple factors in the world or in the environment or in your life experience or in any sort of, and there is a sense of clarity, that is Bina. That's what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. And once you change the word from wisdom to clarity, you begin to understand why it becomes the foundation of everything. And what do you need to achieve clarity in life? What do you need? We meet people all the time who are very smart, who know a lot of stuff, who are much smarter than we are, and do not have clarity. You talk to them, the way they process information, the way they relate to people, the way they relate to their own family, the way they relate to their own selves. There's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of baggage, there's a lot of complexity, there's a lot of, right? They lack clarity. Where does clarity come from? The way to ultimately reach clarity is to be able to live a life where you are not controlled and defined by these various external physical realities, by these temptations, by these desires, by these, and by the way, at the end of the day, this is a deeply psychological point, because when you sit with people who understand human behavior, they understand that a lot of what motivates people is, it could be subconscious, it could be completely conscious, but what it is for is a reach for some sort of satisfaction, for some sort of resolution of something that they crave, that they need, that they desire. And that ultimately sometimes causes people to make bad decisions, to get involved in things that are self-destructive. In order to ultimately achieve clarity in life, you have to be in control. You have to be in control. You have to be able to be guiding where things are headed, where things are going. If everything else is controlling you, you won't have clarity. If the way you grew up controls you, it defines you, that's unquestionable. But if it controls you, you won't have clarity in life. You'll always be doing things against the backdrop of your previous life experiences. That doesn't mean you should expel those experiences from your consciousness. Kedusha means it doesn't have control over you. If you're a person who feels the need to satisfy certain, you know, esteem issues by putting other people, there are things in life that try to control us. So that's the transition from Kedusha to the concept of Bina, to the concept of Das, the notion of clarity. What?
How does one get clarity for problems, for example? You know, if it either would be, you know, kids' education or shidduchim, or how does one, you know,
so first of all, this is the whole point. In other words, number one, you're davening for clarity. So the question is, in what context, right? In what context can HaKadosh Baruch Hu does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you that sense of clarity? And part of the context that's necessary to be able to internalize it, understand it, process it, live it, right, is not to be defined by 5,000 other things, is not to be restrained by 5,000 other things, right? There are a lot of reasons why those issues may be present. Some of them are things that are totally beyond our control, that are circumstantial. You're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in other parts of Shemona Esrei to help with that. And some of them have to do with our perspective and with how we're relating to those issues and with how we process and understand those issues, right? And so part of what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for is not to make a miracle where he just sent some magic boy, but to give us some clarity of what we need to do in order to reach where we need to reach. And the Sifsei Chaim's point is, in order to reach that space where you're connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam in such a way that that portal has become open, part of the foundation for that is the whole concept of Kedusha, is living a life of Kedusha. It's not a life of simplicity. It's a life where you're not defined by these things. You could be very wealthy and live in a big, huge house and not be restrained by it, as long as you don't need it. It's challenging, but it's not impossible. It's a challenge I think all of us would appreciate. But it's not The next point is from the Olas Re'iyah. This is from Rav Kook. He says the following. Atachonin la'adam das, in source number 4. Amar Ravami gedola deya shenitna betchilas bracha shelchol. How great, how important is this concept of das, of wisdom, that it emerges right here at the outset of the tfilos of Chol. So geder hadeya, who, what is it mean? What is knowledge? What does understanding mean? What is wisdom, ultimately? So he writes the following. Lihishtamesh b'chol dover. The ability to use every single thing. Gam hashafel shebitashmishim. Even things that are of the most irrelevant or lowly elements of the world, litachlis hamala, for something purposeful. V'hinei b'shasha adam osek b'inyanei ma'alos v'kedusha, afilu lo tihye da'ato kidola, nekel hu shiyase hadvarim litachlis hashlemus. When a person is engaged in areas of life that are inherently saturated with sanctity, then even if their focus and their understanding is limited, it's not so difficult for them to reach the ultimate purpose of those endeavors in their totality. Which means, right, when you walk into shul and you're dealing with davening, which inherently is something that is a sanctified experience, is a spiritual experience, so obviously it's challenging to focus, it's challenging to understand it all, it's challenging to remain engaged all the time. All of that is true. But at the end of the day, provided that you could find a pathway to relate to the experience you're having, ultimately it doesn't require so much intentionality and effort to connect to something that's already there, right? You go to the Siyum HaShas, you feel amazing. You go to a shul, let's not take regular shul at Ne'ilah, you feel amazing, right? Is that a spiritual accomplishment? The environment, the atmosphere, the energy is all predisposed because there's such a heightened state of sanctity, a heightened state of Kedusha. Even if you're not bringing your full self into it, there's a momentum that grabs you and translates into something bigger. Sometimes people have that experience when they go to Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes people have that experience at the Kotel. Sometimes people don't. And they get very flustered and very frustrated and very... Sometimes people have that experience in other places. There are all sorts of different places to experience spirituality, but when the environment is predisposed to such, when you've essentially manufactured an environment of spirituality, which we do, that's what the whole Mishkan is about, that we can create spaces that are for spirituality, but there's no mitzvah to build a Mishkan everywhere. In fact, there's a great prohibition to build a Mishkan everywhere. Once they built a Beis HaMikdash, you're no longer allowed to build a Mizbeach outside your house. You're not allowed to create those spaces. So there is a notion of a central space, of a central experience. So says Rav Kook, in those places you can reach it. Aval kisha osik bin yanei chol, but when you're involved in general endeavors, tzarech deya haguna lishabdam letachlis hameula. You know what you need das for? You need das, you need wisdom or clarity in order to be able to discover the essence and the purpose of all of these other things. Kedas chacham haroa es anolad. Like, it's like a premonitional knowledge, premonitional wisdom. Something that you don't, it's not obvious right here. Roa es anolad is in time, and he's talking more in space. It's not obvious right here, right now, what the purpose of this is, but it will become obvious. And I could see beyond the moment. So instead of walking into shul, I'm walking into my office, or I'm walking into my car, or I'm walking on the street, or I'm involved in some other mundane activity. The ability to elevate, the ability to live a purposeful life with intentionality and meaning in everything we do, which is the ultimate goal of Judaism. That is ultimately what it's about. Somebody says to you, what is it about? What it is about is to live every moment of your existence for a purpose and with meaning and with a goal and with something you're trying to accomplish. Something that's virtuous, something that's good, something that moves the world, society, the Jewish people, yourself, your family forward. That's what we do. Everything. From the moment we wake up in the morning and tie our shoes, to using the bathroom, to going to work, to going on vacation, everything can be elevated for something purposeful. And so that, for Rav Kook, is the relationship between Kedusha and Deya. In order to live in a world that you're able to extract and engage the sanctity everywhere, you need that sense of wisdom. It is not obvious, that's what he's saying. It's obvious how to get Kedusha out of a shul. It may be hard, but it's obvious. It's not obvious how to go to work and how to live in the world and how to have mundane experiences and extrapolate sanctity and meaning out of all of those moments. That's not obvious. That requires depth and wisdom and understanding of what the world's about and what's going on. So atachonim la'adam das, for a cook, is not just about God, give us clarity in life. It's give us the capacity to uncover and reveal the meaning of life in everything. And that does come before everything. Because it's, you know, before you get to where you are physically, financially, spiritually, existentially, psychologically, emotionally, nationally, internet, before you get to all of that, the question is, if in the day-to-day life experiences, can you pull Kedusha into whatever we're going to face? And ultimately, that is part of what we daven for Kedusha. It's an amazing tefillah if you think about it. God, help me see the wisdom of meaning and purpose in every aspect of my life. Help me see not just wisdom, data, information. Not just information. Not help me understand a difficult tosis. That too. But help me understand my life. Help me understand my existence. Help me understand what is being asked of me in every circumstance and experience within which I find myself. And that is a completely different tefillah than just help me do well on a test and a final. We're holding in finals now. We're holding in finals. Yeah.
What are the mechanics of what we're really asking for? Like, are you asking Hashem to eliminate from us those things that would muddy our minds or to present us with experiences that would fortify us? Are we asking Him to be like caffeine in our brains to make us, you know, to make the gears turn better? What is it we're asking Him to do?
Probably what we're asking Him to do, and we'll get to this a little bit, but probably, you know, in the world of the Rambam, and certainly much later in the world of the Maharal, the human intellect is not just considered a physiological, you know, set of network of neurons and synapses and things that are firing. The human mind is considered the sort of the repository or the home base of a much higher level of existence of thinking, whatever that means, thinking. And whether or not we're davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do something, or, and again, this gets in a little bit more to the question of what do we mean when we ask for things, which is separate, a bigger conversation. But let's assume for a second, we're asking him to do something for us. So what are you asking him to do? So somehow, so that process, the highest level of human, of our physical existence is our capacity for thought. It's our capacity for thought. Not just memory. Memory's part of it, but our capacity for thought, reflection, self-reflection, interpretation, understanding, insight. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a, yes, we're asking him for a degree of divine intervention, inspiration, manipulation, a just overall revelation, which we don't know where that always comes from, right? We don't know where that always comes from. And we've all found ourselves in situations, and I am blessed to find myself in situations all the time where something will come out of my mouth that I literally know 100% I did not have the intellectual acumen to produce. 100%. It's on target. It's exactly what the person needed to hear. It's sometimes there's a siyata dishmaya that just is operating there. It's just, I can't prove it, you know, in an experiment, because I can't, you know, I can't have a control group where I counsel two sets of people, and these people I don't ask God for any help and see if I mess them up, and these people I do ask God for help and see if I end up helping them. I'm not going to do such an experiment, although it would be interesting. But, right? But I can't prove it scientifically. I can't prove it empirically. But I know for myself. I know for myself when something's coming out that I know I don't have the caleb to do what I just did. So there is a notion that just like God can intervene and, you know, and be present in processes that are as physical as healing and sustenance and these kinds of things, Hashkachas Hashem can also bring a human being to a space where they have greater clarity, greater insight, greater understanding. But when we understand with greater specificity what it is we're asking for, rather than just give us knowledge, you know, again, it's like you're going to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give you all of Maseches Brachas. But you're not going to learn, you know what I mean? But you're not going to learn Maseches Brachas. Or you're going to learn it, but you don't really have the skills to assimilate it all. But you're asking Hashem, even though I don't have the background to do this, I don't have the skills to do this, I don't have the zitzvah to do this, but I'm asking you to do a miracle and help me learn Maseches Brachas. So this is more than that. This is, we're asking, you could be asked for that too. You could ask for anything. But this is, we are asking for a certain openness of understanding of life, of our existence, of, and by the way, it could be answered just like tefillos can be answered in a variety of ways in any other area of our life. It could be answered a variety of ways here. It could be answered by Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating such a situation that you came into contact with a solution for that problem from someone else. Someone else could get the wisdom. You could come across something. I mean, there are a million ways that God can provide that hidden nudge, you know, to that clarity. But I think the two fundamental elements are, we have to create the context where such a thing can happen. And that's not going to happen just from inspiration. That's going to happen because we do the hard work of being sure that we are creating a reality where it can. And also that we have an understanding of what it is that we're searching for. Yeah, you had a question? Oh, good. Yeah, that comes up. Like, what do you say about Chonain?
Well, it's like undeserved.
Yes, exactly. Many people mention that. Yes. Ata Chonain l'adam da'as. That there's, so when we get to some of the more specific interpretations of the different words, but yes, everybody points that, not everybody, many, many point that out, that the word Chonain means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu's giving you something that you don't necessarily deserve. That it's a free gift. It's a free... So asking for das, asking for wisdom and understanding is sort of a gift. So what some of the Mefarshim say is that wisdom comes in stages. There's like a flash of inspiration that you could choose to nurture and follow up and explore and deepen and cultivate. Or you could choose to just sort of be like, oh, you know, I did get that, but now I'm going to go do something else, you know? So some say that that's sort of the, in other words, you're asking God, listen, start me off. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me that first undeserved kind of, you know, clarity of of understanding that there is a solution. You know, sometimes when we're dealing with a problem in life, we're just trying to understand our lives. Sometimes we arrive at a realization that sometimes we feel like we're dealing with circumstances or just general life, you know. It doesn't feel like there is a solution. It feels like the whole thing is just a quagmire. Like it's not solvable. And then sometimes we get to a place where we realize, I could see there could be a solution. I don't have it. I don't know exactly what the pathway is to get there, but I could at least imagine in my mind what a resolution looks like. Sometimes we can't. So, you know, atachonin la'adam das is sort of that gift of, maybe not the gift of all the data that we want, but the gift of perspective, the gift of confidence that there is wisdom to be acquired. You know, sometimes you go to somebody else and they're talking it back to you and you realize, hey, as they're refining your thinking, that you're, I'm a big mentor person. I go to many people and ask many questions, and I always have my whole life, and I'm always asking advice from many, many people all the time. And I hope that once in a while I stumble upon someone who knows what I should do. Okay, so how are we doing? 8:55. All right, so what is atachonin la'adam das? And then the next line is chanenu me'itcha. We ask from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Also, that language of chanun, chachma, bina, and das. So, what are these three things? So, the Torah tells us in Sefer Shemos, with regards to Bezalel, right? Bezalel was the architect, the designer of the. I know those are two different things, right? Of the Mishkan. So the Torah says, Re'ei karasi b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur lemata Yehuda. I will fill him with this spirit of God, bechachma uvesvuna uvedas uvechol melacha, with these three different aspects or elements of knowledge and insight and understanding, and the melacha of how to do this, lachashov machashovos lasos bazav v'kesef v'nechoshes, in order to figure out how to put this Mishkan together. So he didn't go to, what is it, FIT? Is that the design school, right? Or architecture school, right? It wasn't, didn't study under, what's his name? Frank Lloyd Wright, right? If anybody's been to the house in Arizona, what's that place called? I was there so many times. Falling Water is one of his places, but his studio is in, I'll remember it later. Anyway, Frank Lloyd Wright, right? So he didn't study any of these people, so he's, by the way, Gemara says he was 18 years old, right? He's like walking around, Gemara says he's 18 years old. I have a whole mahalach on that, why they had a teenager doing this. But, because, you know, put up a mishkan in the desert. All right, no problem, right? That's how an 18-year-old would react, right? Adults would be like, where are we getting crushing from? Kids are like, we got this, right? It's not, you know, how are you going to do this? I don't know, we'll figure it out. There's a certain confidence you need, arrogance, confidence, that you need in order to get things like this done. So what happened? So look at Rashi on the left side. Rashi defines these three terms in an interesting way. He says, "Bechachma." What is chachma? Chachma is Masha Adam Shomea Devarim Me'acherim V'Lomad. Chachma is information, data, that a person hears from others and learns or retains. Ubisvuna. So that's one thing you need. He needs the information. How much is a cubit? How do you fit a keresh with something else? Right? How do you put up the menorah? Right? He needs chachma. Svuna, what is tivuna? Mevin davar milibo mitoch dvarim shalomad. The ability to interpret and apply information. To understand something milibo from within him, from his heart. Mitoch dvarim shalomad, from something that he learned. In other words, insight, the ability to deal with information. Analysis, application, interpretation. Uvidas, and you need das, and here Rashi defines it interestingly, Ruach HaKodesh. So Rashi says, oh, that's already the divine spirit. So that's interesting. So what does that all mean? So look at this, Sifsei Chaim, underneath. Nivaris Shlave HaHispachsus HaHasaga HaSichlit Shel Adam. We explain these different categories. Nidagim zos b'talmid alomed eitzel rabo. So we demonstrated first, you have, let's say, a student that learns under a teacher. V'kolei advarim, and he absorbs all of the information. V'yachal achzar aleihem, and he could review it, he could spit it back. Kefi shenemru dabor alafonav, zehu begeder shel chachma. That's chachma. To understand information, to talk it out, to say it over, to share it with someone else. Hashlav haba hu avonas advarim. Understanding. Hayecholus lenateach, to analyze this mashashama, lahavim, lahagdir, yisodos, menachem, medivrei harav, to be able to establish all sorts of foundations and concepts and frameworks, letzar from zelazet, to attach things, to compare things, lahakishmem, knows the sukkas acheros, to compare them to other topics, vayodim lahavim mekomos nesafim, and you expand the knowledge, and that's what Rashi means, mevin davar mitokdov. Vizui bina, that's what means bina, miloshin binyan, from the lashon of a building. You start to take different parts and put them together. Shaideas yisodos shehevin, that through the foundations that you understand, bone, you are able to build binyanim acherim, other buildings. Hamadrega elyona, but the greatest madrega, he das. That's das. Why? Yidia birura ubahira, knowledge that is clear and definitive and clear. Sheha adam ichol, that a person is able to digest. The hifnim, and to internalize osa bepnimius libo into his heart, ad losi shel ruach hakodesh, until you reach this spirit of ruach hakodesh, which means ruach hakodesh doesn't refer to the classical sense that it's sort of like God just kind of gave you some sort of divine inspiration or information, but rather ruach hakodesh refers to the internalization of what you're doing. In other words, it is very possible, and we know this, we see this all the time, it's very possible to meet people that know lots of information. And it's very possible to meet people that are able to manipulate information and extrapolate things and understand things and analyze things, and that's also a skill set. But the third level is not to just have data and not to just deal with data, but to be able to internalize and live the information, that it becomes part of you, that what you're dealing with becomes part of who you really are, that there's not just a knowledge and an understanding, but rather that it, the knowledge and the understanding begin to shape who you are. They begin to shape who you are. So when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not just asking him for clarity of information. We're not just asking him for clarity or relevance of analysis. We're also asking for the ability to internalize wisdom, that it should become part of us. How often today did we hear something insightful and we were in it at the moment, and then the moment was over, and then that's it? Maybe it's in a notebook, maybe it's not, maybe it's, but to become part of us, that it becomes part of us, that we're able to then live our lives in such a way that that wisdom becomes manifest in other situations and scenarios, because we are a accumulation of all of this wisdom, that our life is. And sometimes you meet people like this. You meet people that you realize that they don't, and this is the difference between, you know, very, very smart, let's say, sages, Torah sages, and people who are like living embodiments of Torah. You could have somebody that knows a lot of information. You could have somebody that even knows how to analyze a lot of information. But once in a while you meet somebody, and they don't have to be the smartest person. They don't have to be the Gadol Hador. You could do this at a much lower level of intellectual acumen. But you're with them, and you feel like, not in an awkward way, where they're like spewing things in like socially awkward kind of situations, you know? Like, just their whole disposition is, they carry the wisdom with us. It's real. It's a part of them. It becomes part of who they are. And that's also what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. We're not just asking him to be smart. We're not just asking him to be insightful. We're asking to become human beings whose knowledge and understanding of the world and of our life experience becomes part of who we are, part of our identity, and animates us to behave differently, to think differently, to act differently, to interact with people differently. And that's a whole different level of wisdom. That's a whole different level of, you know, how much information do we process that we don't long-term do anything with? And when we talk about long-term doing something, we generally talk about retention. I'm not talking about retention and recall and like fancy stories that could help us remember something. I'm talking about like learning a daf gemara in brachos and like changing, or like even if we don't change our behavior, like, I don't know, like thinking differently about the world because of what we just read, because of what we just learned, because of what we just heard. We now look at the world differently. We process things differently. It's just a totally different experience. I was at a meeting today. We had a conference call that we convened with Mizrahi that had to do with the WZO elections. A little bit of a complicated story, but basically, there's almost $1 billion on the table in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a big question of how that money is going to get allocated, and a lot of different groups are jockeying to represent the Jewish people and being able to decide where that money goes, and it's a complicated thing. Anyway, we had a big Zoom conference call with hundreds of Jewish leaders around the country, and we were in a room, and the call was myself and Rabbi Joseph, who was hosting the call, and the head of World Mizrahi, who was also there, and Nachum Siegel was the MC, and Rav Schechter. He was giving like Divrei Bracha. So Rav Schechter gives his Divrei Bracha, and then Nachum like opens the whole thing up. He was great. And then Rav Schechter gives his Divrei Bracha, and then the head of World Mizrahi starts speaking about how important it is that we support Torah institutions in Eretz Yisrael and how it's going to affect the whole character of the state. And there are people trying to get this money to use for BDS and use for other things that are just totally antithetical to what we're trying to accomplish in Israel and building up the communities and the shtachim and all these things. And as he's talking, I'm watching Rav Schechter in the room, and he's like blowing his brains out. He's like unbelievably emotional on a conference call. And I'm just like sitting there, because to him, what this guy's saying is real. Like, he carries these concepts and issues of Eretz Yisrael and Medinas Yisrael and Achdus and Torah and the Jewish people and Am Yisrael. These are living, breathing realities that are part of who he is. And when someone raises them in a context where there's a potential challenge or threat or issue or anything, it evokes an emotional response, because it's not just something he knows because he's very, very, very smart and he knows a lot of information. It's because the information has penetrated a space in his soul that is become part of him. And that's what happens. You don't have to be Rav Schechter to do that. You just have to be somebody that is able to sort of open up your existence to ideas, not just your mind. Ideas, and it's a whole different way of thinking and a whole different way of living, and that's really what he's saying about Ruach HaKodesh, that he didn't just have Chochmah. You're not just davening for Tvuna, you're also davening for Ruach HaKodesh, a spirit, a Ruach that's sanctifying. Okay, see you all.